In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll give you something to hope to be brief today because of the, I don't know if it's a polar vortex or whatever it is that's going on outside there. It's coming down quite heavily. But today is a perfect day, I think, for the particular setting of the Mass. Those singers which we have gloriously singing today, Misa de Angelis. It's something that I think about often as I see the snow coming down, as those are the gifts of the angels. They come down and bless us in such a way, coming from a place that knows not snow as often as other places. Though we may be few here today, words of old can give us courage, where we can think of all those who have gone on before, who have spoken so well. I'm thinking the words of of Shakespeare when he spoke, "Oh, you happy men, you blessed men, who come here this day." I can't remember the words exactly of St. Crispin's Day speech, but he says, "You brave men, that those who were not here on St. Crispin's Day would think their manhood cheap. And so you who braved the storm to come on this glorious day that brings forth this beauty of this Epiphany mystery of the baptism, you see how valuable your manhood is, that it is not cheap, that it has been redeemed by Christ in baptism." What baptism does is it transforms absolutely everything. What we see here within the gospel is exactly what happens at every baptism. For the baptism of Christ is the model of each of our baptisms. Just as it happened in Scripture, just as it happened in the person of Christ, each of you and I, the exact same things that happened. Though our eyes may not have perceived it so clearly as those did on the day of the baptism of the Lord. Each of you and I are baptized into Christ. And so evermore our identity becomes the very person of Christ. What happened that day as we heard within the gospel? It says, as he emerged from the waters, the skies opened up. The Spirit descended upon the Lord in the form of a dove. And a voice cried out from heaven, saying powerful words. These are the words which were spoken to each one of you as you emerged from the waters as well. The sky did open up. The Father spoke powerful words. The Spirit descended upon you there. The Holy Blessed Trinity came to rest upon you. That changed everything about your life. And the words that were spoken of Christ are indeed spoken of each of you and I. This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. Upon you my favor rests. I take delight in you is another translation. Those are words that need to be revisited upon our souls and be remembered at every moment of our lives because we don't always feel that we are delighted in. We don't always feel like we're a son or a daughter. And certainly, we do not always feel as though we are beloved. Because oftentimes, even we do not consider ourselves to be beloved in our own eyes of ourselves. But yet, baptism transforms everything and changes everything about our persons. And so as we recall the glorious moment where our Lord was sent forth from this moment to do great deeds among men, so too our Lord has prepared us for the same thing. Let us sit for a moment and think about that great gift of baptism and what it does, the effects that it has upon you and I. What does baptism do? What does it portend for you and I who have received so great a gift? The more we contemplate the light of faith and the great gifts of baptism, the more we are astounded by this great munificence of gift, this great gift which God has given us in his bounty for us. It would be a grave mistake to regard that the effects of this initial grace passing into us as a mere phenomena that happened way back when and can only be reflected on in pictures or in books or in sacramental records. What are the real effects of baptism? It's this. It's that the most holy Trinity, that of Father, of Son, and of Holy Spirit, came down with all his force upon us to remain with us, not just for that moment or until we committed our first sin or fell by grave sin at some point in our life, but to remain with us all the days of our lives. The Father, he is always present, and providentially he's watching day and night over his adopted children, which is each and every one of you and I. That the Word made flesh, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, he is always present with us, keeping those who are baptized into his very identity safe from all evil all the days of their lives. So too the Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost, is always present, guiding those who are baptized through the cares and the hardships of this life so they might attain that which baptism promises and reaches for. When you presented your own children for baptism, what did you say? You said, "We want faith." And the priest questioned you and said, "What does faith portend? What does faith promise?" And your response as godparents was what? Eternal life. Blessedness. That is what the Holy Spirit guides you and I through all these hardships to attain that which is our eternal destiny. And three divine persons of the Trinity unceasingly watch over with their powerful protection over those who are baptized. And so here in those of you and I who are baptized, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity lies a truth that should never be overlooked by us, constantly contemplated and revisited. Perhaps maybe what we are too accustomed with weighing only the personal efforts that you and I make within our souls so that we might quest for protection, rather for perfection. Our personal effort is absolutely necessary. This is true, but we should not forget the unceasing impulse of the direction of the Holy Spirit. That he made that first action. And it always begins on the part of God. What did our Lord say? John 14:26. He says, our Lord Jesus, "If anyone would love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode," that is our house, "we'll make a tent within him." And so from this, it is clear then that not only the Word, that is the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ, comes down to the soul at the moment of baptism. How, as a matter of fact, could the Father and the Son be separated from the Spirit of love? And if all of the Trinity come to dwell within that Christian soul from that moment of baptism, it is not to live there to be inactive, because God is never inactive. He's always in motion. Even the great philosopher pagans understood this about divinity. That's why our Lord speaks again in John chapter 5, verse 17, saying, My Father, this is what our Lord said, "works even unto now, and I also work." He's always at work in the baptized soul. So this continuous action of the Trinity is what keeps the physical world from falling into nothingness as well. He holds everything in being. And so the action of the Trinity works in a more and more supernatural world to seek out souls. It's this desire of God himself, the Holy Trinity, is to chart a course, to move according to his divine life, which proceeds from the Father to the Son. And this force is a force which binds together all in the person of the Holy Trinity. Rather, the person of the Holy Spirit, uniting the Trinity together in this perichoretic love. This is continued eternally in those mysterious and invisible missions that transform souls into the very image of the Trinity. And so all holiness, all seeking of perfection, it's only this. It amounts to merely allowing oneself to be made more godlike. That is, to make that image of Christ brought to a greater fullness of maturity in each of us as persons. But who is it that does all these acts within us? It's not by your effort or mine. It is God who leads all. So contemplating the great work which this day signifies, this great epiphany, this great illumination that we receive today, don't think of it as a past event. It's something that happened in your life too. And it's not something that happened once and is left in a sacrament or record only to be revisited at some later point in life. When you're long gone, it's something that continually moves and acts. In each of you lies that precious gift that is the Holy Trinity. And so giving thanks for that, let's ask him through the ministrations of the angels who are with us, and whose voices you'll hear throughout this Mass, through those ministrations to move more deeply into what our Lord desires you and I to receive, a deeper abiding force. For he who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit, to him be glory now and always and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.